Today we're going to do a little something. I struggled with this message to this week. I started on Tuesday and ended up last night still working on it, and because I was going to preach something completely different. And then God said, hey, you know what? You're going to preach on prayer today. And for some reason, God has wants Calvary Baptist Church to be on their knees. And I think that, after all, His word says in Second Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, that he will heal our land, right? And that's what he's wanting to do to this congregation. You know, it was funny. It's we had a prayer breakfast yesterday. Nancy had a prayer breakfast for the ladies, and I guess it was an awesome time. I mean, my wife came home and she said, "Man, what a time of deep prayer that we had for this congregation." And then not talking to Pastor Ron yesterday at all, and I didn't know what he was going to preach last night, and he preached on prayer. What do you think? Coincidence? I sat down and I said, and as a matter of fact, he used some of the scripture that I'm going to use today. So, it was like, okay, you're going to talk about prayer. And then he did that kind of how-to, and it was kind of neat. And he gave this little thing. It says, "For peace today, you must pray." And I think that's a pretty good slogan, don't you? If you want peace in your life, if you want joy in your life, you need to be on your knees to him and talking and communicating with your Heavenly Father. That's how you do it. That's how you get your peace. And so I was kind of struggling with this because I had something completely different. I'm trying to work on a series, an upcoming series, and I thought, well, you know, maybe I should just go ahead and do this prayer thing and get done with it, God, right? So... And what's really kind of neat is that we have a men's prayer breakfast this coming Saturday. And I want you men to come out, okay? All of you. All of you guys should come out. You talk about the women of this church getting on their knees praying for this church and the success of this church and to glorify God by this church. Well, you know what? Men on their knees is just incredible. God wants to hear from the men in this church. Really do. And next week at Denny's at 9:30, don't miss it. You're going to buy your own breakfast. Pastor Joe can't afford it. Okay? So you're going to buy your own breakfast. But we're going to have a men's prayer breakfast next week, 9:30 at Denny's. And then Sunday, we're going to get this congregation on their knees again over at United Free Methodist Church over on Evans Street, right off of Connorsville Street. If you don't know where it is, just go up Connorsville Street, just make a left onto Thomas, and then make a right and go up Evans Street, and you'll see it on the right-hand side there. It's on the corner. You need to be there. You need to be on your knees. Instead of having the all-staff meeting next week, what we're going to do is, because usually at the end of the month, we have the all-staff following the church, we're not going to have that. We're going to be on our knees there praying for this community. Because the pastors of this community, we all get together once a month, and we go and we pray for Fayette County, for Uniontown particularly. Because I'll tell you what, Satan has his stronghold on Fayette County. He definitely has his stronghold right here, and he's not letting us go. We need to be on our knees to break that. Because of the poverty in this place, because of the addictions in this place, I mean, it's incredible, and we need to be on our knees. So this church, if you want to see all the pews filled up, we need to pray, right? Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. So we're all on the same boat here. We need to be on our knees. We need to be reading his word. We need to be on his knees. Now, what I'm going to preach to you today is twofold. It's not only to pray, okay? Because we're going to go into Colossians for chapter 4, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Paul asking for prayer. Okay, so we need to pray, and then how to pray for those and to give us an opportunity to be able to witness. So it's kind of a twofold. It's to pray and to evangelize. Because if we think that this church is going to get filled up or whatever by you know, some divine thing that God's going to say, okay, come on, I want this church filled up, without us on our knees and without us going and talking to people, it will never happen. It will absolutely never happen. So let's go to Colossians chapter 4, and let's read the beginning in verse 2. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this message. We thank you for the opportunity to come to your throne room and to pray to you, to communicate to you. Not everybody has that opportunity. Not everybody can do that, but we as Christians can walk into your throne room because of who Jesus Christ is. We can get into your presence and we can pray to you and ask for, lay our petitions out to you, Father. And we thank you for that opportunity. Father, we just love you and we just ask that your word would have its way in our hearts today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, I've got a question for you. Do you remember when you were a baby Christian, right? When you first became a Christian. Do you remember that? And you were all full of zeal and you were all excited about sharing God's word, right? You wanted to share, didn't you? I mean, I did. I read my Bible all the time. As soon as I got my first New Testament, man, I was reading through that. I was all full of zeal and everything, and people thought I was kind of crazy, went off the edge, because I really had a conversion. I had that Damascus Road conversion. I've told you this in the past, but for those of you that didn't hear it, when I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord over my life, it was like, I can see for the first time ever. It was just like the scales dropped off of my eyes. And it was like, wow, you mean this is what it is? This is what I've been missing? I've been sleepwalking kind of all my life until now. I was 24 years old, just about 25 when that happened. And man, I'll tell you what, I am so happy that it did. I was all full of life. Yeah, joy and a real desire of the things of God. I read his word. I praised him. I prayed to him. And as the years go by, what happens? The excitement kind of, it's like, you know, okay, it's there. I'm a Christian. It's been, you know, since 1979 now. It's been a long time. And I know that happens to you because things get dry, right? You become like on a dry desert. And then it's not so important that, you know, you pray. And it's not so important that you read every day. And it's not so important that you witness or anything like that, right? Come on. Come on, you know every one of you sitting here, that's happened to. Including myself. That's happened. I've hit dry spells. I've hit places where, you know what, I just don't feel like it. Just don't feel like it. Just going through the motions. The fire has gone out. And maybe you're here this morning and you are not a Christian. Maybe you don't even know what we're talking about. This message is for you too. Okay? Because I've been praying for you. When I was doing my message, I dropped on my knees and I said, you know what, God? There are people that are coming today that aren't saved, that don't know you as personal Lord and Savior, and you know who they are. So God, I'm praying for them right now. So I dropped on my knees, and then this morning I dropped on my knees again and I said, I know there's going to be somebody out there that's been invited today that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord over your life. Maybe today will be that day of salvation for you. And I pray that. This message is for you too. Today, and we need to look at God's word and find what is keeping us from experiencing that joy of God. Some of you don't know the joy of God because you don't know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. And some of you are just kind of just drifting along, sleepwalking, just milling along, just doing whatever you want to do. Family, it's hard to experience the things that God wants for you in your life as a part-time Christian. If you're just a part-time Christian, then guess what? You're just going to never have the joy and the excitement and the peace in your life that God wants you to have. And what I mean by a part-time Christian is that's somebody that comes on Sunday morning and forgets about God the rest of the week. Just absolutely forgets about Him. Never talks about Him at the workplace. Never talks about Him in the neighborhood. Never talks about Him when you go out to eat or talks about anything. Or never thinks about God or prays to Him or anything like that. That's being a part-time Christian. When our aims and purposes are so similar to the lost world, right? When we do the same things and we look exactly, if I would put you in a room with a bunch of lost people, would I be able to tell that you are walking with Christ? Would I be able to tell that? Would you be able to tell that? There's got to be a marked difference. There has to be something that special about you. That, you know what, you're not like everybody else. That you do talk about what is right, right? You know, I golf with a bunch of guys that are, you know, they're like pseudo-Christians. You know, they're like, okay, I go to church on Sunday, but that's it. And I kind of hang around with them and I golf with them. And every opportunity I have, and when something goes wrong in their lives, do they go to their other buddies? No. They sit there and say, hey, Joe, what about this? What do you think about this? Because they know I walk a different walk than they do. And I have that opportunity. So that's what we need to do. We need to have and walk in that different light. We need to be the salt and light, don't we? That's what He tells us to be. We have to be that. The Christian life is an adventure for those who will venture to take their faith into the marketplace on a daily and to do a daily opportunity and take those daily opportunities. Our text today divides naturally into two sections. One, verse 2-4 talks about us speaking to God. Okay? That's what it talks about. Us speaking to God. It's a natural division. And then from 5 and 6 talks about us speaking to others. Speaking God's word into other people. And that's what this is about. We read the scripture, and this scripture has a lot to say about praying until people come to know Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about the fact that, you know what? Come. I want as many people to my account that I can possibly have. And that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, give me as many people, bring them to me, give me an opportunity. I want to witness to them. I want to tell them about the mysteries of Jesus Christ. It opens by encouraging us to devote or to continue. It says, continue in prayer. That means devote in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That's what it talks about. Just says, hey, be devoted. To devote or to continue is to persist. Be persistent in your prayer life. Don't just have a hit and miss kind of thing. Don't just wake up tomorrow morning and say, well, Pastor Joe says, I need to pray. And then Tuesday, something comes up. Something comes up and then you're taken away from your devotions. You're taken away from your prayer life. Don't do that. And that's so easy. It happens to me. It happens to me. If I wake up a little later during the week, guess what happens? Life happens. And then I don't get on my knees, and by the time the day is over, guess what happens? I'm too tired. I'm too sleepy. I forget about it. Make it a point. Make it. Be persistent. Tomorrow morning, wake up on your knees, okay? Get on your knees and pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for others. Pray for this church. Pray for the ones to give you, pray to God to send you somebody, give you an opportunity to be that witness for him. It means persist, to give constant attention, to preserve, to persevere, to be in constant readiness, to endure. Family, devoted to prayer refers to a God consciousness that comes from walking with him and relating each experience in life to him. Everything we do, everything we say should be related to what God has done for us. Everything we should do, we should say, well, I can connect this with God, or I can connect this with God, or I can connect this with God. Everything should be a keen awareness. The Holy Spirit should speak right into our soul and say, you know what? That's what you need to do. Prayer is the most important expression of the new life in Christ. It is the means of obtaining for ourselves and others the satisfaction our needs, both physical, that satisfies our needs, both physical and spiritual. It is a divinely appointed weapon against the sinister attacks of the devil. Do you not think, and I've had this conversation with a few people, do you not think for one second that Satan is not hot on the heels of this ministry at Calvary Baptist Church? If you think that for one second, because this church is about to be paid for, that frees up money for ministry, folks. We don't have to worry about the building anymore. Do you think that Satan doesn't know that this ministry is on the verge of just exploding? And do you know why? Because he knows that there's a good chance that this congregation is going to do what Pastor Joe says and get on their knees and pray to God. And he doesn't like that. He hates that. He hates the fact that you're going to be on your knees. He hates that. Because he knows what the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. He knows that. He knows it. It's the written word. You can't fool him. We need to do that. His demons and devils are out there. Prayer is the vehicle for the confession of sin, the instrument by which a grateful soul pours out adoration before the throne of Christ. It is also the power behind people coming to Christ. Our fast-paced lifestyles have minimized the importance of prayer in the process of people coming to know Christ. And I want you to know that I prayed for every one of you this morning. Every one of you. I pray that the Holy Spirit would take a hold of your heart and move you in the direction towards Christ. And most people today think that they can live just fine without church. They can live just fine without God. They don't need God. They can handle life just fine by themselves. Anybody here like that? Don't raise your hand, because there are a lot. Thank you, James. James knows. He knows that that's the way we think. We think that it's all about me, that I'm the one that makes the money. I'm the one that makes my life. You're not. You're not. Everything is his. Everything belongs to God. Everything. Everything that, even the breath you're taking right now, the heartbeat that you have in your chest right now, belongs to God. There's no promise of any more than what you're having right now. Tomorrow you could be gone just in a second. And you're not taking any U-Hauls either. Everything is going to be left behind for somebody else. As Solomon says, everything that you leave behind, you have no, none, zero, zilcho say about where it goes and what the people that get that money and all this stuff, what to do with it. So I try to tell my wife, you know what's going to happen when we die? Pastor Ron's going to get all our stuff and sell it all. And he's going to enjoy it. No, you know what? We have zero say. It's all his anyway, right? So let's live like it's his. And that's what we need to do. Live like it's his. They don't need God. They can handle it on their own. Now, as we continue in the verse, we see we are to pray with thanksgiving. To maintain spiritual awareness is in prayer and life, we must be continuously thankful, right? Thankful for everything. Thankful for the breath that we're taking. Thankful for all the stuff that we have. And thankful for everything. Be thankful. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you the need for which we don't know how to pray, right? In Romans 8:26, and they used this last night, it says, "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Now let me just tell you what that means. Sometimes when you want to pray, say, "I don't know how to pray. What do I say to God? What do I do? There's something, I don't know." Just get on your knees. Get on your knees, close your eyes, and then say, "Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, speak in my behalf. Speak in my behalf. Speak to God on my behalf, because guess what? You know my heart. You know what I'm going through. You know what I need to communicate to my Heavenly Father. You know what it is. So do it." And then before long, you'll start praying and you'll start talking and you'll start communicating. All you have to do is pray just like what we're talking. You have friends. Just pray like God is your friend. That's all you have to do. He wants to hear from you. We also have a need to pray for those in God's services. Pray for the leadership of this church. Pray for the pastors. Pray for the deacons. Pray for everybody that's in any type of ministry, or pray for one another. It's extremely important that you pray for one another. Paul asked for prayer for himself in verse 3, and it says, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Paul asked to pray that God will open doors so that he can get the gospel message out to others. Guess what? Guess where Paul is when he's writing this letter? He's in a Roman prison. Now, come on, how many people can you get? I mean, you're in bonds. How many people in a Roman prison are you going to be able to witness to? Paul says, "Bring them to me." I don't know how he brings them to him. Maybe there's a little window with bars on it and somebody comes and Paul gets an opportunity to speak Christ to somebody that's just walking along the street. Maybe he's talking to the guards. All I know is Paul saying, "Give me an opportunity." You know, this is time to lay back, right? After all, I'm in prison because of you, Jesus, and because I'm a Christian. I'm in bonds because of you, God. I should just lay back and forget about everything and just get out of here so that I can go on about my life. No, he's saying, "You know what? Pray that I have opportunity to tell somebody about you, Jesus. Pray for that opportunity for me." Wow. He still has a burning passion to share the gospel with others and to see others saved. See, family, not only did Paul have a desire to see people come to Christ in the best of times, when things were going well, he also continued his work for Christ in not so favorable times too. When things aren't going so well, when you can't make the car payment, when you can't make the house payment, when things aren't going well at your job, that makes it even sweeter to be able to witness for Christ. He had a desire to tell people what God had done in his life. His life had been wonderfully changed because of Christ, and he wanted people to experience it. Paul not only communicated with God through prayer, but he wanted to speak to others for God. He knew he would need the prayer support of others to share his faith, to open doors. Paul was in chains. Family, we too should pray for opportunities to share our faith. We need to ask him daily to open doors for us to share his grace and his love. Now, not only are we to pray for opportunities to speak, we need to pray about how we use our opportunities. Verse 4 says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul asked them to pray for clarity in his presentation of the gospel. Paul wanted him to pray so that the message would be understood, that it was a clear presentation, because he knew that Satan would want to muddy the water and the message so that others would not really understand it. You know, we did a class of witnessing and how to witness a couple of years ago, and I would be willing to do that again if somebody is interested in doing that. If somebody is interested in, hey, Pastor Joe, I really don't know how to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, well, I'd be willing to teach you how to do that. And I'm going to put a sign-up sheet, and I'll do that this week. So if you're interested in a class like that, I would be more than happy to just take an hour or a couple of hours some evening and just show you and go through God's word on how to witness and to share your faith with others. So we need to speak to God, and second, we need to speak to others. Verse 5. Verse 5 calls Christians to show God's wisdom daily as we interact with others. It says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without. That means the people that are not Christians, they're outside the church, redeeming the time. We need to show others that as a follower of Christ, it made a difference in your life. We need to conduct ourselves so that the way Christ will be attractive and impressive to others. You know, a lot of times Christians will be ho-hum Christians, right? You see a lot of Christians that walk with their head down, and they just don't speak very loud, and they just kind of meek. This is the way I'm supposed to be. That's not the way you're supposed to be. Walk like you are the daughter and the son of the King, because that's what you are. And don't ever let anybody tell you any different. You are the son and daughter of the King who sits on the throne for eternity. And that is pretty awesome. That is awesome. We need to conduct ourselves so that the way of Christ will be attractive and it would convict them of their waywardness. You know what? When you're around a bunch of people that are lost and unsaved and they're doing the wrong thing, you ever notice when you walk into the room, it's like the light bulb turns on in a dark room, and all of a sudden everybody goes, whoosh. Okay, language has to change, everything has to change. Actually, they don't like you around, do they? A lot of times they just don't even invite you to places where they're going to be a mess, because they don't like your light, because light scares darkness away. It's not the other way around. Be the light. Interact. Be that church. Let how you live and what you share with them influence them into becoming a Christian. You know, it's funny. There was, and I've told this story before, there was a little girl and her mother riding home from church one day. And the daughter said to the mommy, said, Mommy, Jesus, or the pastor said that Jesus is bigger than us, that God is bigger than us. And she says, that's right, he is. And she said, well, you know what, God, or Mom, the pastor also said that he lives inside of us. And she says, that's right too. And the little girl says, well, Mommy, if God is bigger than us and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through? Out of the mouth of babes, right? Shouldn't he show through us? Shouldn't that big God that lives inside of us be visible to the world in the right way? We need to make the most of every opportunity to share Christ with others. You know what? There was a lady who went on a short train trip, and she was going on this beautiful, scenic train ride. And it was kind of like when Sue and I last year, when did we go to Alaska? A couple years ago? Whenever we went to Alaska, we went on a train ride from one place to another, and it was absolutely gorgeous. The scenery was just breathtaking. Well, that's kind of what this lady did. She went on this train trip, and she got in the train, and she was fussing with her luggage and putting it over in the overhead bin and doing all this stuff, opening her bag to make sure she has her return trip thing. And then she finally gets seated, and then she gets up and she says, I don't like this seat, and she moves back to another coach, and then she resituates everything. She finally gets sat down, and then the conductor says, end of the ride. Here you are, station, you're getting off. She said, holy cow. Now, I'm not sure she said holy cow. But she was so fussy with everything. This woman was so concerned with her personal comfort that she missed the beautiful sights along the way. She totally missed them along the way. Family, we need to get our minds on the main business of life. The main business of life. Life as you will wish to have lived when you hear the call of the last station. Got it? When they call and say, this is it, you hadn't missed a thing. You lived a life for him, and you made the main thing the main thing. As we travel through life, are we concerned about what really matters? Because time misspent is not lived, but lost. Family, what are you willing to do so that people you know will meet Jesus? What are you willing to do? We have Easter service coming up the end of next month. We've got about 4 weeks before then. 4 weeks. Will you invite a lost person to church? Will you invite them and say, hey, you know what? Come on. We've got an opportunity, folks. We've got a great opportunity to fill this house with the lost so that they can hear the message of Jesus Christ. Will you share your story, your testimony? Will you take them and bring them a meal? Will you pray until they're saved? Your mission field is all around you. Will anyone in heaven be able to say thank you? Thank you. When you get there, are they going to say thank you? Thank you for caring enough to share your faith with me? Imagine the joy you'll have seeing people in heaven that you led to Christ. What joy that will be. The salvation of a single soul is more important than anything else you'll ever achieve. I don't care if you achieve being the President of the United States, saving a soul, or leading a person to Christ will be the best thing you'll ever, ever achieve. Ever. Ever. Verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Verse 6 emphasizes the importance of how Christians speak. Before we can make disciples, we need to make friends and build a rapport. Luke 4:22 says, and all bear him witness, speaking of Jesus, and wondered at the gracious words which proceedeth out of his mouth. Wow. They're talking about Jesus. Jesus wasn't harsh. Jesus, his words were true, and they were gracious. And Ephesians 4:15 talks about speaking the truth in love. And remember, we are all to be witnesses, not judges or persecuting attorneys. We can also go too far the other way and be so gracious that we never get around to sharing the gospel. You know that? So many Christians today are so hypersensitive about offering non-Christians that they never present them with God's truth clearly and directly because they're afraid. They're afraid. Many people never darken the door of a church because they were never invited. Weren't you happy that somebody invited you? So invite somebody else. We are not showing compassion or love if we choose to keep meekly silent and never share the truth about Christ with those who desperately need to hear it. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. That means it gives flavor and it preserves. Both are valuable assets for the Christian. Part of the right flavoring consists of suiting your conversation to the hearer. Being able to choose the best means in answering questions about your faith is important to understand. Conversation such should be appropriate for each person we speak to. Now, I remember a guy that I worked with who beat me over the head with the Bible. Now, that's what I needed, okay? So it was appropriate for me. But you couldn't talk to this man without him saying something about Jesus. And it was so inappropriate because we were talking about cars or trucks or something, and then he'd bring Jesus in. And fortunately, I was the kind of guy that said, okay, I must need Jesus. So I surrendered to him, and thank God for this guy that was antagonistic. But we need to make sure that our conversation is seasoned, okay? Just like Paul asks. There was a lady, Nellie Packard, loves to tell about Jesus. Actually, she wrote a book. And one day she had Nellie would bring Jesus into every conversation somehow or some way. And she one day heard about bee pollen. You know, bee pollen that's supposed to be good, that bee's honey and stuff, supposed to be really good for you. So she makes a phone call to the local place and the health store and talks about the bee pollen. And the guy says, yeah, you'll live forever. Boom. Boom. Open door, right? You'll live forever. She says, well, you know, and she laughed and she chuckled and she said, well, you know, I am going to live forever. And he says, well, how? Tell me about it. Okay, door's wide open. Now share your faith. And that's what she did. She wrote a book on sharing her faith. So if she can share her faith talking about bee pollen, I'm sure that we can share our faith talking about whatever. Hairdressing or whatever it is. Tree cutting. You know, share your faith. Share your faith. She does. Family, the best place to witness is where God puts you. Wherever that is, wherever God puts you. The story was told that a deacon was praying one time, and he's praying, and he says, God, God. You know, he's leading in prayer, and he says, oh, Lord, touch the unsaved with thy finger. Touch the unsaved with thy finger, Lord. And then he stopped because the Holy Spirit nudged him and said, thou art the finger. Yeah, we can pray, oh, so-and-so needs to be saved, so-and-so needs to be saved, come to the Lord. Guess what? You're the vehicle in which God uses. And if you don't open your mouth, how will that ever happen? You are the vehicle. One more illustration. There is a lodge nestled in Glacier National Park in Montana, and it overlooks some beautiful lakes. And one time, years and years and years ago, there was a forest fire, and that little lodge was threatened of the fire jumping over the lakes and catching the lake on fire. So what they had done is the men of the employees hurried up, and they doused this thing day for about 2 days. They doused it with water. They put so much water on it, it just about waterlogged the place. Well, the fire did jump over the lake, and everything got burned up around it except for that little lodge, because it was saturated. It was absolutely saturated, and it remained unscathed. Like the warning received by the employees of the lodge, sometimes the Holy Spirit alerts us that there is a danger ahead of us or a loved one, and prompts us to bathe ourselves or that loved one in prayer. And if we're obedient, we are preparing a defense against the fiery darts of the wicked. Just as the young men provided protection for the lodge, the Lord is prompting you to pray for someone today. Would you like to live in wisdom and speak with grace? Would you like to be a good steward of your time? Would you like to make the most of every opportunity that God gives you? Then you need to cultivate intimacy with God by bowing to Jesus in your daily life. We wouldn't really pray until we see prayer as a way to express our love in Jesus Christ, and that He is even more eager to meet with us than we are with Him. Do you believe that? Yeah. He wants to meet with us. And it is impossible to salt our speech with the deliciousness of Jesus when we haven't been enjoying the taste ourselves. If evangelism is what spills out of you when we bump into someone, then we must make sure that what bubbles over is very appetizing to that person. What I'd like to do is, for the next 7 days, before we meet again, what I'd like to do is challenge you. Challenge you to open your Bibles every morning, and I need you to be on your knees for the next 7 days. You do something for 7 days, you probably continue it. But for the next 7 days, and then I want you right now, before you leave the church, I want you to talk with somebody, and I want you to say, hold me accountable. Be my prayer partner. That I'm going to pray with somebody, or I'm going to pray for somebody. One of my friends, one of my coworkers, somebody that I meet on the street, or some stranger. Pray for that person and see how God uses it. See how God uses it. And in 7 days, when we get back together, I'd like to hear some of the stories. So you make sure you call me on the phone, or you speak to me next week and say, hey, you know what? I've been praying for 7 days for somebody. And guess what happened? God gave me an opportunity. They may not accept. Take the opportunity. Because not everybody that hear God's word, but you're going to plant a seed, right? You're going to plant a seed. So I would like you to stand, every head bowed and every eye closed, because I know there are some folks here that I don't know. I don't know whether you're saved or not, but I know that I've been praying for you. And I want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as Lord over your life. Because your life is really not a life, because actually you're a walking dead man or a dead woman. You're not alive until you know Jesus Christ as Lord over your life. Because Scripture tells us that we're all sinners, right? It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And for that sin, the penalty of that sin is death. So, what I would like to do is, I know your heart right now is pounding. That's not anything new, because right now, that's Jesus Christ knocking on your heart's door saying, let me in. He's not gonna force his way into you this morning. He's not going to. He's not going to break down the door of your heart and just walk in where he's not wanted. But he wants to be invited. And I want to give you that opportunity to invite Jesus Christ into your heart this morning. So I want to pray a prayer of invitation. And when I'm done praying that prayer, I want to know whether you prayed that prayer or not, because it's important to me to know how to pray for you for future prayers. So if you want to invite Jesus Christ, if he's knocking on your heart's door right now and you want to invite him in, pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I admit I am a sinner. I understand my sin has separated me from you. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me and rose again from the grave to offer me this gift of eternal life. I open the door to my heart and invite Christ in to be my personal Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me your child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen. Show of hands, could you raise your hand if you prayed that prayer? I see that prayer. I see that hand. I see that hand. Praise God, I see that hand. Praise God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Pray that prayer. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for those folks that have just raised their hand.